Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ and to this congregation of His church. We'd like to welcome to this service this morning the youth group from St. Simon's United Methodist Church over here. They're here for the weekend doing missionary work in our area. And we appreciate that. I'm sure it's been blessed by God. Also, Jason Pennington is visiting with us from Ocala. Where are you, Jason? There you are. Are there others visiting this morning? Yes. From Johnson City. Great. Delighted you're here. Any others? Yes. From Panama City Beach. Great. Well, we'd like to welcome all of you. I want to remind you that our mission box is for this week is from Mission Flights International. And we're going to have a video for that in just a second. There's also the Gainesville Fine Arts Association has their artwork that has replaced all of the quilts and things hanging on the second floor of the education building. There's a reception from noon to 1:30 for the artists in room 211 today. So we hope you'll stop by over there and look at the artwork and talk with the artists. Welcome home. Why are we here? Amen. Let's look at mission flights.
Today, MFI flies down to Haiti and the Dominican Republic at least twice a week with one, two, or three airplanes per flight day. We fly on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Main reason for that is we can organize and do our maintenance and loading here on Mondays and Wednesdays. And also, the missionaries that travel to us in Haiti or Dominican sometimes have to drive 2 or 3 hours to get to the airport. They don't want to do that just any day of the week. So we just pick a day, and that's when they show up. And so we gear up around that time period. And then, of course, we add more airplanes as more stuff comes. Today we had two DC-3s, took about 12,000 pounds down this morning. And so we left out of here about a little 4-7, right at 7, and we've been to Cape Haitien, Haiti, and offloaded our 7,000 pounds, brought 5 people back, and we're back here about 5 o'clock, which is a short day. The other airplane went to Port-au-Prince and won't be back till 7:30, 8 o'clock tonight.
We can go back to Florida, so we need to go over life tests. There's one behind everybody.
Thank you. Please stand and join us on our opening hymns this morning.
Thank you.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior. Find me, all my fears and failures, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I my God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
You may be seated. Friends, I have at this time the joy of inviting up Tristan Samuel Belzer to come forth now for the blessing of holy baptism. Belzer family, if you'll come on up and stand. All right. And you have some other relatives, if you want to come up and stand with family, that's fine.
Sure.
All right. Okay. You want to introduce your parents?
Sure. Okay. Good morning. We have my father here, Ted, and Tura, and my brother Andrew, and we have Lisa, which is my sister-in-law, Faye and Eddie, which are Roseanne's parents, and Kimmy, who is adopted sister.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, Stephen, I'm just going to ask you and Roseanne, two questions, if you don't mind. The first is, do you profess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If so, say I do. And do you promise to rear Tristan in the life of the Christian faith, upholding the standards of our church? If so, say I do. Okay, David, if you'll pray over the water, if you don't mind.
Our mighty God, we thank you for the ways that you have used water down through the centuries to symbolize the cleansing. We pray today that you would consecrate this water, that this child might be cleansed and born anew in your spirit. Amen.
Sent Tristan Samuel Belzer for baptism.
All right. Tristan Samuel Belzer. Is he all right? Okay, he's a little hungry. Okay. We baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the precious Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Can I hold it? Oh, it's okay. It's okay. All right. All right. Ooh. All right. I present to you, congregation, Tristan Samuel Belzer. I told you it would be okay. There you go. And there's a congregational response. We welcome you into our family of faith. With God's help, we will support you with acts of love, Christian education and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith in mission. May God bless you always.
List of concerns for today. I'm sure there are others whose concerns are heavy on your heart, as well as joys and blessings that you would like to thank God and for which you'd like to praise God. As we turn our hearts and thoughts to God in prayer, I want to give you a kind of a suggestion. Dan has asked us to read through the Gospels, and today is chapter 20 of Matthew, using the Message version to get us, kind of help us look at things anew from a fresh perspective with new wording. One way of getting ourselves into the Scriptures as you do this each day is to pray the chapter rather than just read it and reflect on it. One of the things I find is that when I actually start to pray about what's in the chapter, it makes it a little more personal for me, and you sort of ask God, well, what does this have to do with me? Even though today is chapter 20, Brother David's preaching on the Beatitudes, chapter 5, and I thought it would be helpful to sort of give you one sense of what it might mean to pray that. So this is my prayer over the Beatitudes. Let us pray. O God, who made us and knows our every secret thought and motive, we praise you for the gift of life and for the opportunity to be your people set aside for your kingdom here on earth. Lord Jesus, we must admit that we expected your will to be the rule of your kingdom in heaven. But we never really thought you would expect us to be that kingdom here on earth. We might possibly be able to honor our parents or refrain from murder, stealing, lying, or even adultery in our actions. But we are very self-centered creatures who live by putting things before you, often misusing your name and making the Sabbath day unholy, let alone being poor in spirit, thirsting for righteousness, pure in heart, or loving those who persecute us. Following you seems impossible based on your expectations that we be the ambassadors of your kingdom here on earth. Lord, we don't know how you can expect us to be perfect even as you are perfect. That's as impossible as a camel going through the eye of a needle. Yet you still call us to follow you and to live this way of love, mercy, forgiveness, and peace. So today we pray for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who makes all things possible and is your power to transform our hearts and minds into your image. And to that end, we offer ourselves to you today with fear and trembling in following Jesus' way. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray, and anoint Pastor David as he brings your message to us. Bless him with wisdom and insight into your word and way, and pray as Jesus taught us all to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, David. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to all of our first-time visitors and guests. It's a blessing to have you with us. Just want to share a few announcements with you. First of all, is at the upcoming church council meeting, we're going to also have a charge conference meeting as well. So please be prepared for that. Secondly, if you have not already purchased your ticket for the men's retreat, it's going to be this Saturday. All of the other details are embedded in your bulletin. And I think that was it. I just want to give you an update of where I've been all week. I've had the joy of being away in Leesburg. I know it's making it sound as if it's 10 hours away. But it's been all week, Monday through Friday. And the blessing, I'm a little exhausted, but I'm also richly blessed by the process. I've really experienced a new dimension of the kingdom of God. You're going to hear me minister about that today. I watched about 50 to 52 candidates come before us as a board answer theological questions, and there's a preaching session and leadership and personal growth. And we're a team, if you will, and God used us to affirm gifts and graces that they brought before us. And they want to go forth in ministry, and it's just a beautiful process to see how God is raising up new leaders to carry on the work of the kingdom and the work of the church. And so that's what I've been a part of. Wonderful moments of worship. Just to give you an idea of our schedule, it started at 8 and went to noon, and from 1:30 to about 5:30, and then from 7 to maybe 9:45, 10 o'clock some days. So not a lot of time to really work on a sermon, if you will. So I called David, bless his little heart, and God bless you, seriously, because I was Wednesday wondering, God, okay, what are we going to do here? And God began to minister to me through this board and minister to me through the Beatitudes, and that's what I'm going to be preaching on today. But I do want to publicly thank David, because whenever you're on standby, that kind of puts a halt in your schedule, and you're wondering, oh boy. So thank God that everything worked out, and I'm glad to be back in your midst this morning. So thank you for your prayers, and thank you, David, for overseeing and looking after the staff, and continue to pray for Dan for safe return from Russia. He is teaching in a seminary. Went to teach in the seminary, so don't quite know where he is at this moment, but just solicit your prayers for him. If you will stand to your feet now and just tell your neighbor this, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Almighty God, we're so gracious for your generosity and your spirit that always wants to give and give and give. And we're so grateful because that makes our lives so rich and full. And I'm not talking about things so much as I am about yourself. Today we come to offer you ourselves. And as part of that offering, we offer you these gifts and pray that you would consecrate them to your work of ministry, that your kingdom in heaven might come on earth. Amen. Please be seated.
Yeah. Come on, let's hear it again for John Webster. That was outstanding. Thank you, John. So good to be in the context of worship with you. I'm going to be ministering, giving you a message regarding God's hidden help. And it comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. As you all know, we're reading through the book of Matthew. And if you've been following the progression and the unfolding of the scripture in chapter 4, where Dan left off, he kind of touched on last week the baptism of Jesus and moved on to where Jesus was later tempted. And then he began to preach, and the tenets of what he really preached was, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. So you're going to hear me use that kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven phrase this morning. I'm going to unpack that more in the message. But if you'll just give your attention now to the scripture reading, and then we'll pause for a brief moment of prayer, and we'll get into the meat of today's message. So prepare your hearts and your minds now for the receiving of God's word. It reads, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. And his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, or the humble, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will actually see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. He says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way that they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of God for the blessed people of God. Thanks be to Almighty God. Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we do thank you for this moment, a moment of ministering your word. God, we do invoke and invite a special anointing upon the atmosphere that our hearts and our minds will be open, not just open, but also available to apply all of what your word is encouraging us to apply. So, God, I pray that you would speak to me, through me, and for me. Now, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are my rock and my radical redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I want to minister again from the thought, God's hidden help. God's hidden help. And I tell you, that title was really inspired through another story that I want to introduce to you now. I want to introduce to you all, Madalena Dowse. Madalena Dowse. Can you bring a picture of Madalena up on the screen? This is an image, I don't know how well you can see it, of Madalena Dowse. She's now deemed as the youngest, catch this, premature baby to be born in the UK. At birth, she weighed only 6 ounces, which wasn't enough weight to be considered viable. Actually, they have a strange rule there that if the baby is not at least 1 pound, they didn't go through any extra measures to save the baby. They would, unfortunately, just discard them. But if you were a pound, you received the treatments, etc. And so here's the strange twist to the mystery behind Madalena Dowse. In the midst of her birth, someone accidentally left a pair of scissors on the scales. And those scissors increased from 6 ounces, gave her enough to reach a pound. Because of that, they put her in the ventilator, and when they saw her in the ventilator, they recognized, we left scissors on the scale, but at that point, it was too late. The blessing, if you will, had already been given. And I tell you that story because, you know, we serve the kind of God. Well, before I even go there, let me show, that's the before picture. Now look at the after picture. Isn't that beautiful? I want you to keep that image in your mind, the before and the after, because so many times we forget what it was like initially. Amen. Before the kingdom of heaven was near, she was probably, we were all in that fragile, sinful state. And here's my point this morning, early premise, if you will. God loves us so much, God will tip the scales in your favor. Oh my God, are you feeling this morning? He will tip the scales in your favor, adding meaning, adding weight, not weight that burdens you, but weight that gives you worth and well-being. God is the kind of God who loves us so much, He will tip the scales by adding to you what you didn't have before. Amen, church? Let me just read for you. It makes a little better sense here. He loves us so much, He'll add weight to our fragile states, adding worth where the world would have added none, because they would have discarded her, that you would have life and have it to the full. In essence, in simplistic terms, Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Have life more fully. Have the weight of my blessing upon you. Not the weight that burdens you, but the weight that blesses you. And I use that word blessed because that's exactly what we find in Matthew chapter 5. The Beatitudes. Jesus is up on a mountain. And he comes down a little bit and the disciples begin to gather at his feet. And the first words that we see, this is after his baptism, this is after he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights, this is after he began to call the disciples to him. The first word, and the Beatitudes can really be understood as, just like we have U.S. Constitution, and those constitutional tenets govern and guide us, if you will. The Beatitudes are the kingdom's constitutional tenets, given to the disciples to be governed by. In the Friday night service, I'm ministering through this series, Think on These Things. And I talked about in a candid way how my mom gave me, hate to be a little gruesome here, but we got 3 laxatives a year. Forced laxatives. Which means we didn't want to really receive the laxative, but she would get a warm glass of water and put half Epsom salt in there. Put a little honey in there, and my sisters and I would just laugh at each other because whoever went first normally upsucked a little bit of it, and we would just get a kick out of having to hold our nose and to drink this nasty stuff. But she was doing it because she loved us. She was doing it to prepare us for what we had to face in the upcoming school season, if you will. She's a school teacher. Well, I tell you all of that because Jesus is almost giving them a shift, if you will. He's saying, you're my disciples, and if you're going to be a part of my kingdom, Philippians says it this way, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so the Beatitudes really means in Latin, blessed. So I want to unpack what that word really means, blessed. It means recipient of divine favor. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. And as I was reading and studying this, I imagined that Jesus on the mountain was looking out upon the crowd. And he saw the poor. He saw those who were mournful. He saw those who were not just poor financially, but poor in spirit, because this is first century AD. They are pressed by Roman oppression and dictatorship. They are viewed as the scum of the earth. But because the kingdom of heaven is near, he walks in the midst of that culture and context, and the first words that he say, blessed are you. Isn't that powerful? Blessed are you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, the humble, if you will, for they shall inherit the earth. In other words, these are the constitutional tenets of the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus is saying to the disciples, here's the gift that I'm bringing you because the kingdom of heaven is near. And what is the kingdom of heaven? What is the whole notion of the kingdom of God? Well, I'm glad you asked. The kingdom of God is the love of God, the rule of God, and the reign of God in the heart of every believer. Did you catch that? Is the love of God in your heart? It's God's rule in your heart, and it's God's reign in your heart. And so when he says the kingdom of heaven, the blessing of heaven is near. The fullness of heaven is in your presence. And because heaven is near, forget about the hell you're going through. You're blessed. Amen, church? You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. And so as I begin to study further, I just thought about moves, etc. And the first thing that we see by Jesus bringing weight to our scales, weight that doesn't burden us, but weight that actually blesses us, the first weight that he adds to our scales that we can all be in awe of is this weight. It's the weight of his glory. He is present with us. He's not on the mountaintop so high up where he's transcended beyond time and space and not engaged with creation, but he is near and dear our hearts. He's walking amongst the people. And as you read the unfolding of the Beatitudes, you would think that he gave all of these out in just one setting. But scholars will teach you that that's not the case. These are the core tenets over his ministry, condensed in neat form. Beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. So the first thing that we encounter is the weight of his glory. Glory in the Greek is doxa, means radiant, brilliant light. His presence is with you. And I know we're going through some conditional circumstances. We all have found ourselves in a particular conditional clause. Be it poverty, be it mournful, be it depressed, be it low self-esteem. Financially, you may not be in the place where you want to be. In life, career-wise, you may not be in the place of where you want to be. Regarding your family, you may not be where you want to be. But guess what? You're blessed. Because his presence has added something meaningful to you that you couldn't add to yourself. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who mourn. So the first weight that he adds to us is the blessing of the weight of his glory. The second thing that we see added to us is the weight of his grace. The weight of his grace. In the midst of severe living circumstances, he adds grace to them. Grace to them. The story was told of a family that went out to this expensive restaurant. And dad was all excited about taking his wife and his kids out. And so they go out and they have a good time. And they finish their dinner and fruitful conversation. And dad says, "Hey, everybody, we're going to have dessert tonight." Everybody gets dessert, and they're just sipping tea and, you know, eating cake and cheese, etc., having a wonderful time together. And he reaches in his wallet to pull out his wallet to pay the tab, and the waitress says, "Excuse me, sir, someone has already paid for the meal." And he says, "Well, can I at least tip you?" She says, "No, they covered that too." "Well, who was it?" "Well, I don't know." "Well, where are they?" He looked around in the restaurant. "Oh, they left an hour ago." And so he felt embarrassed a little bit, but he also felt blessed a little bit, and he also felt this feeling of helplessness because he wanted to pay for the meal, but it was already paid for. He is a divine recipient of divine favor. That's what you and I are. We are the recipients of God's divine favor and grace. And by way of Holy Communion in our lives, catch this footnote, the meal is already paid for. I already left the tip for us by way of his grace. What is grace? Well, I'm glad you're asking all of these great theological questions this morning. Grace is God's unmerited favor. And by way of the Wesley notion of grace is way of salvation, three forms of grace. We all, most of us know these by now, but because I'm, you know, was with the Board of Ordained Ministry and every candidate mentioned grace is kind of really embedded in me now, but prevenient grace is the grace that goes before you. Even before you were born and knitted in your mother's womb, God had already itched the plan for you. Prevenient grace. And then there's justifying grace, your faults and your failures and your sins that separated you from God. God justified you, making you in right standing with him. What does that mean? By way of the cross and the blood, he justified you, making you just as if you've never sinned. Isn't that good news this morning? And thirdly, there is sanctifying grace, where it doesn't end there, but there's sanctifying grace, where we're now on this path of growth and development by way of striving towards Christian perfection, where he is refining your character. Outwardly, we are perishing, but inwardly, we are being what? Renewed day by day. So every week, every month, every year, I should be looking more and more like Jesus. Sanctifying grace. And God has given us all of this grace, not because we deserve it. How many of you realize no one deserves God's grace? He freely gave it. And because he freely gave it, we have the blessing to freely receive it. Amen, church? Is this microphone working this morning, Doc? God's amazing grace. Save the wretch like me. Hallelujah. Don't start me now. Here we go. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you even when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. We call those haters, by the way. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So on the scales, we have the weight not only of his glory and the weight of his grace, but in closing, we also have the weight of his good news. His good news, that in the midst of whatever you're going through, God extends to us by way of his kingdom good news. We can be saved and sanctified. We can live lives of fulfillment. He said once again, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. In closing, I want to share a story with you. I called a good friend of mine from Atlanta. He's a bass player at Impact United Methodist Church, a dynamic new church start that started a few years ago. And they're located in the heart of Atlanta. And Memphis Williams is his name. He took his wife out on their anniversary. And he says, I'm going to do something slightly different this year. I'm going to take my wife jet skiing. And so they went to Lake Lanier. I don't know if you know about this lake in Atlanta. There's a lot of beaches there, et cetera. Hugely. And so they go jet skiing, and the guy gives them all of the steps and the details. He connects the safety band to the wrist, and there's a key connected to that band where if he falls off, it will disconnect and, you know, kill the engine and all that good stuff. And they also gave him a cell phone, put it in a Ziploc bag, and he said he kept that in his pocket. And there they are jet skiing, and the guy told them now, it's a beautiful day, 80 outside, and but there is a wind factor. Wind seemed to be pretty high, and they may pick up, so just be careful. But he didn't think much of it, so he took his wife, and they're out on the jet skiing having a good time. And they're hitting the waves. And I don't know if any jet skiers are in the house, but I've been out on a jet ski once or twice. It's really fun. Well, they didn't estimate the waves to increase the way that they did. And so they're riding on the jet ski, and the waves get larger and larger. And he says, unexpectedly, they were knocked off by a wave. And the current started pulling, and the waves were pressing so hard, it became very fearful. So he was knocked off the jet ski, he and his wife. He came from under the water, and he couldn't find his wife. And it's like his wife was 30 yards away, and they began to scream for help. And his wife was just, you know, messed up. Just, you know, imagine, ladies, how you would feel if you're separated from your husband. Huge waves going back and forth. You can barely swim. They both had on their life jackets, and when the waves would come, it would knock them under the water, and they would have to come back up, gasp for air, and wait until the next one. And he says, David, I can't describe to you how helpless I felt watching my wife get beat up by waves about 30 yards away, and I could not reach out and help her. He said the jet ski was lost in the waves, and it drifted away from them. He says, when we went out, people were around, but all of a sudden, no one was out there in the middle of this lake with us, but us. And we started screaming for about 20 minutes to the top of our lungs. He says, they even put a whistle in that little, on that chain, and I blew the whistle for about 10 to 15 minutes. No one could hear us. And he says, I felt so helpless. And he says, I just started thinking about my sons back home, and all of those sorts of memories or thoughts began to flood my mind. And I was thinking, this is my end. And he says, eventually we drifted together and I was able to latch onto my wife and to just calm her down. Baby, just hang in there. We're going to be okay. And he says, let's just pray together. And so can you imagine this visual? In the midst of crashing waves, Memphis said they started praying together. And he said the current was still strong and it was knocking them down and pulling them further and further out. And he says, sweetie, just calm down. He began to pray with his wife. And he said, minutes passed by, and he said, sweetie, let's just sing a worship song to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I would not be thinking about singing a worship song to God in the midst of this kind of drama and terror. And so he began to sing a worship song, and she joined in, and that calmed them down. And he said he began to feel a sense of peace. Even though the waves did not digress, we began to feel a sense of peace. And we begin to worship God and thank God for our lives because we just gave up. We figured that this was the end. He says, we were exhausted with fighting these waves for about 45 minutes. And he says, finally, after they released and surrendered and began to continue to worship and pray, he says, the currents began to slowly, gradually change. And the waves that were pushing them out began to now push them gently back in. And he says, before you know it, we were pushed all the way back up and I could actually begin to see shore. And he says, I kept praying and I kept worshiping. And before you know it, we were pushed back up against the rocks. And he says, 5 minutes later, the jet ski came back in. I promise you, I even called. I said, Memphis, can I have your permission to tell this story? And he went over the detail. He said, the jet ski came back in. He says, I know because my feet got, one of my foot got trapped between the rocks and the jet ski, and I bumped my leg a little bit. And I was able to get on the jet ski, and it didn't give me full power, probably 5 miles per hour, but we were able to get on it. And he says, all of a sudden, the rescue unit shows up. And he said, it was as if God was trying to say to me, I want you to understand I am extending you grace. The rescue units did not save you. The jet ski could not save you. I saved you. Powerful. He says, my life will never be the same. And he says, when we got home months later, we began to research Lake Lanier, and I learned of all of the deaths that took place in that very lake. I don't know if you know the singer, pop singer Usher. Usher's son was killed in that lake. And he says, that just blew our minds all the more that we were rescued and saved. He says, there's no way in the world I'm here today. If it were not for God's grace, I would not be here today. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. The kingdom of God brings grace to the church, good news to the church. God's glory is within the kingdom of God. So his presence will always be with us regardless of what we face. If we'll just trust and believe in him, he will meet us where we are. Amen? And he'll give us the worth of well-being that we could never add to ourselves. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to Almighty God. Can you bow your heads with me now for a brief moment of prayer? Father God, we do thank you for not only your prevenient grace, your justifying grace and your sanctifying grace. But we also thank you for your amazing grace. And the grace that reaches us and saves us. A grace that is meeting our needs according to your riches and glory. A grace that was extended to us even through the crucifixion on the cross. We thank you for your works of grace in our lives. God, there may be someone here today who is recognizing now more deeply that you have been at work through grace. We pray, O Lord, that you will open their hearts in such a way that they will say yes to Jesus Christ and make him shepherd and Lord of their lives. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. We prepare our hearts and our minds now for the blessing, the sacrament of Holy Communion. Come to the table of our Lord. Amen. It is good to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, and so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread and gave thanks to you, broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me. And so we offer ourselves to you, proclaiming the mystery of faith. Christ is died. Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here today and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Amen. Friends, prepare your hearts and your minds now to come forth for Holy Communion. The altar is also ready for you to kneel for a quiet moment of prayer. Bless you.
people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make the darkness bright. I will bear my light to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you leave me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Isn't I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go. My heart.
stand and grab the hand of your neighbor. Let's bow our heads and receive now the closing sending forth. Now may the love of God, the Lordship and leadership of Jesus Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.
Amen. There's a sweet, sweet Spirit. There's there.